How are you doing, Matty? All good?
Yeah. When good, thank you.
When did you arrive to Turku?
This morning.
Yeah, I flew in this morning.
Did you have a festival gig yesterday as well?
Yeah, we had a show in... Where was I yesterday? No, I didn't actually have a show yesterday, but I was in Poland. I had a day off yesterday in Poland.
Okay.
Yeah, in Gdansk.
What did you do? I love that city, by the way.
Yeah, it's great. What did we do? We just got those like electric scooter things that you can get now. And we kind of took them in the woods. So that was quite fun. We just spent a day like messing around.
Did anyone get hurt?
I nearly got hurt. And I've got like this recurring like back injury. Oh. I like fell off the top of like George's drum set in like 2014 in Manila. And I fell like 8 foot like onto my ass.
Oh, shit.
And so every now and then I'll do something and it'll like really mess my back up. And unfortunately yesterday was that. So today I'm a bit stuck.
So it's kind of like something happens and it reminds you of that.
Yeah,
one time.
Well, yeah, I'm reminded of it definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Of all the gigs you've played, because you know it happens that people get ill or people get hurt, but you know you don't want to cancel a gig unless you absolutely have to. Which gig of all the gigs you have played have been like physically the worst one for you to perform?
Oh, that's a good question. I remember like having a chest infection back in the early days, and like I remember touring in a van in like 2012, 2013, where, you know, doing like European tours in the winter where it was like snowstorms and like you'd get ill and you couldn't recover and stuff like that. I think that sometimes like I played in Australia, or like I played the other week in Switzerland, and it was like 36 degrees on stage in the sunshine. And that kind of wiped me out, you know. But we tried to keep it going. Like George broke his collarbone once, like at like midnight, and we managed to do the show the next night. By our friend who was in the band who was opening up for us, kind of learned the whole set in a day, and then we did it that day. That was kind of scary, but
okay.
Yeah.
You probably don't mind that things are going really well for you guys, and you can live off music, and you know you're. Get to play these big festivals and the main stage, and you have the buses and everything else. But is there something with, because you mentioned the, like the van days, is there something with those garage / van days that you sometimes can miss?
Oh, of course. I'm incredibly nostalgic about all of that. I think the lucky thing for us is the band itself. We've been together since we were 14, you know, so we're 30 now, so however long that is. And then with our crew as well, like our friends, some of them have gone off to have babies at the moment, but like a lot of our crew is made up of like our old school kind of best friends. So we've kind of inherently kept that group of kids who never really needed to grow up, because we're still kind of just having fun, you know. Like sometimes we look back at those days and we're like, oh god, that was like 6 years ago, and like look at the van and all whatever, but it kind of feels like we're still on the same tour. These things, when they get bigger, it just feels like a natural progression, you know.
Of course it's a great thing, like for instance when you will take the stage today, there will be loads of people and people will be knowing the songs and singing the songs and they will be there for you. But is there something, I mean, I've heard some musicians that are doing really well nowadays that they sometimes can miss the thing that they can miss about the old days, the garage days, was that like every night you had to win everyone over. Like people didn't know you, they didn't know who you were. Like, do you ever feel that?
I still have that at festivals, you know. Like I still have this joke that we're like the biggest band in the world that nobody's ever heard of. Like, you know, because there is this big like we are interesting. Like I don't really. As an artist, I've never been interested in these kind of things, but over the past couple of years with like running my record label, I kind of noticed things about myself that maybe I wouldn't. And I find the 1975 objectively, when I try and look at it as like somebody who works in the industry, quite an interesting thing, that the place that we take up culturally, and we've never really had like a big international hit. You know, we've never had that one song where like everybody's like dialed in, kind of number one top 10 record. So it's interesting. So there's still a lot of people who, like when we'll play today, and I'll be a witness to a lot of people who are like, maybe know our name or whatever, or especially know our name because we're playing this festival, but they won't be familiar with us, and I get to experience them having their, I don't know, their opinion formed. It's cool for me. I like that.
Yeah. I like the thing that you guys like to be also a bit of mysterious, or like when it comes to your what you're about to release and stuff like that. Like, yeah. Like you drop some hints here and there on social media, and there's been like in the UK some like commercials and ads and billboards, and people don't really know where they have you and stuff like that, or they think that, oh, this is what's going to happen, but that's not what's going to happen. You know, this is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah,
how
yeah.
did those things, you know, come about?
I think that it's partially like, it's quite a real-time expression for me, so sometimes I'll like genuinely change my mind. And then I'll incorporate that into what I'm doing. But a lot of the time, it's like subtext. You know, I grew up like by myself a lot of the time, like playing video games. And like video games for me were really important, because like if you found like an Easter egg on a video game, it felt so personal. Mm-hmm. Felt like the art was like talking to you, like immediately with no interface. And then there's certain records, like if an artist references something from another song, and like you know that, it's like an in-joke within the art and stuff like that. I've always found those layers really interesting. So I think that I just try and make it interesting for myself. I'm not like trying to play any games with anybody. I just find that it's all one thing for me. It's all one expression, you know, the music, the visuals, the tone of it. It all has to be coherent, you know, in order for it to be right for me. Otherwise, it's just pointless.
Mm. Really, I mean, it's quite weird in this day and age with, you know, all social media, and it's like difficult to keep secrets, you know, because somebody yeah. will know, and it's enough if one person knows, then it spreads over and then everyone knows. But still, you have these like mega artists like Adele and Beyonce and Justin Bieber who just suddenly releases an album and nobody knew about it. And all of a sudden there's like 14 new songs, like here. There you go. Like, is there any of these kind of like do you enjoy this as well, that you're kind of like surprised, or do you prefer that, you know, some of your favorite artists like kind of like announce 3 months ahead, like our new album will be out the March the 20th?
I like the whole, I suppose it comes from hip hop inherently, the idea of just dropping the yeah. surprise album. It has its pros and its cons, do you know what I mean? I think it's quite punk and it's quite irreverent and it's quite charming, and then if the record's amazing, that's what a record's gonna live and die off, do you know what I mean? If it's a bad record, it's not gonna do well. Well, actually, maybe that's not even true, but I just feel like I wanted to do, the reason that I'm putting out like a single in August, and then I was like talking on the radio saying, oh, I might put something out in May or the 1st of June or something like that, like, this is because I changed my mind. I wanted to like drop a whole record with no singles before it, or no songs before it. And then I just changed my mind. And then I wanted to put songs out before it. So that's what I'm going to do, you know.
I heard somebody say, because like, especially if it's like a really big artist that people know and people have like a lot of opinions about. I can't remember which artist said it, but it was just this spring. I think it was a hip hop artist who just dropped an album, like just like that, 20 new songs or something. I think it was a he said that, you know, because if he would have announced the album like 2 months ahead, people would have already like kind of formed their opinion before it, so they wouldn't listen to it with like fresh ears. Do you agree on this?
Yeah, I understand that mentality, that if you don't want people to form an opinion, I suppose I do, for me in particular, because our records are so, I mean, it's not necessarily on purpose, but they just happen to be so different song to song. Like the releasing of singles, which is normally, hey, if you like this, then you'll like my album, which is what a single is there to do, you know? It's not like that for my band. It's almost like part of the experience. Like, fans are normally expecting something at the beginning that's mental, like a reinvention or whatever. And then, you know, every time we've put music out, everyone thinks we've lost our mind or we've completely changed. Every time we do a new album, that's kind of part of our thing, you know. So I think that for us, putting out singles is different and part of what we do.
I also like the fact that you, because I think it's really boring with boring song titles. I think it's really boring when you get like an album with 12 songs and the songs are called Home, I miss you,
yeah,
run, yeah, something like that. I think it's, I mean, the song could be good, but I was like, ah, I wish there was something already in the title. Exactly. And you definitely play around a lot with that. Like, I love your songs, but I also really love your song titles.
Thank
what
you.
Kind of, like, do they just come naturally? Or do you think about it a lot?
Yeah, a lot of the time, like, I'll hear a set of words and think it'll be a great thing for something, a film, a song. And normally, because I'm making albums, I'll end up with song titles that, so sometimes they'll inform what the song's about, or sometimes the song won't even be about the title. The title will just be a set of words. I think there's the most 1975 titles on the new record. There's a lot of titles. I mean, I'm also like a huge, like, enormous fanatical Radiohead fan, so like, and they've got like the greatest song titles, you know. So,
which is your favorite?
My favorite Radiohead song title. It's like they have maybe True Love Waits. I don't know why. It's all like they just have. I think it's because with a lot of art, an artist will present something and you'll fill in all of the blanks. You'll create this world in your head. And because I know it's a Radiohead song, they all feel like slightly alien or slightly kind of ethereal or slightly kind of like, yeah, Radiohead always make me kind of feel like this idea that we're all aliens, like we're the most alien thing. Mm. Like if we put focus on the human, it's so weird. Mm. But anyway, I just fucking love Radiohead.
Yeah. Do you now know when your album will be out? Do you know? You're not going to tell us probably, but do you know it?
I don't know when the album will be out.
Okay.
I'm finishing the album.
Okay,
listen, right. I've finished like four songs. I finished more than four songs, but I went into the studio to finish the four songs that come out before the album just recently. So the first song comes out in August, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And then I suppose there'll be like one a month or something until the record comes out.
Okay.
That's normally how I do it.
Right.
I'll be making the record, and I got to shoot the video. I've done the video for the second song already.
Right.
I'm doing a video for the first song in like a week or something. So it's August.
Okay. Since you guys have known each other for such a long time, and you know each other obviously really, really well, you also spend a lot of time with each other, you know, planes, backstages, everywhere. So you know each other really well. So could you tell me from the band who is who? And I'm not asking who plays what, but like kind of like characters. Like who is the one who always forgets stuff? Who is the one who's always like late? Who's the one who's always like reminding people like don't forget lobby call is 5:30. Yeah. Like what kind of roles do you have?
I think Adam is quite quite organized in a kind of tour manager-esque kind of way, and he likes to know that things are quite organized, and Adam takes care of a lot of like the technical side of the show, the computer stuff, the guitar stuff, a lot of the guitar sounds. I'll tell him how I want my guitar to sound and he'll kind of just get it done.
Okay.
Ross is even though he's quite reserved in English, he's kind of like a rock star. You know, he's kind of like atypically kind of like, he's got like a real energy, you know, like he's got like a real spirit. He's like really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and George are like a couple, you know.
Yeah.
We don't fight though, but we're like, we're always with each other and we're always, because we have to be, and you know, like for ourselves. And I think that, you know, I'm the most forgetful.
Oh, really?
By a million miles. Yeah, yeah. In the short term stuff, and I think the common thing with us is that we're all very loyal. I think we find like loyalty really important.
Mm.
You know, so that guides our decision making quite a lot.